this day to yield our lives to you. Father, you have given so much to us in the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the salvation that you purchased for us. So, Father, we come today yielding our lives to you. Would you take our hearts and mold them and shape them? Father, that you would fashion in us a life that resembles our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this time now in the Word. Would you give us hearts to hear, minds to hear, and hearts to receive your Word, and faith to act upon what you teach us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, please remain standing. Take your copies of God's Word and join us in Matthew chapter 6.
We are returning to the study of the Prayer of Prayers, the Lord's Prayer, at least for 1 week. We took a break for a couple of weeks for the missions conference, and now we're going to take a look at this third petition, and then we'll take another break for Easter, and then be back at it after Easter. Folks, just to, so you know, you have the list of the services so that you can plan for Holy Week as we follow the steps of Jesus, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Resurrection Lord's Day. May I just mention to you one little change. Good Friday, we normally do the seven words of Christ in that 12 noon service. We're not going to do that this year. We have the narratives of what happened to Jesus on that day with songs that we're going to be focused upon. The seven words are actually, I just finished them last week. I put them into the devotional. So next week, we'll do like we did last year, the whole week of the services with the seven words of Christ as a devotional guide. One word for each week will be handed out Palm Sunday next week. And so you'll have that with a devotional for you and your family for the entire time. Tonight, of course, I invite you back as we resume our study of the Apostles' Creed. We've looked at God the Father. Tonight, the Apostles' Creed bids us to understand Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, the preeminence of Christ. Look forward to being with you tonight. Look with me, if you would, in this text that we've been studying in Matthew chapter 6, in Christ-centered disciple-making, our Lord's prayer he taught us as disciples. And when you pray, verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. I do not believe, I think I can safely say without being guilty of preacher exaggeration, I do not believe a week has gone by, hardly in my ministry life, that somebody did not come to me and say, Pastor, I need some help about God's will for my life. Well, what about God's will for my life? I need to make a decision about a job, about a dating someone, about a college, about the service, military. I need to make a decision about a car. I need to make a decision about a house. I need, Pastor, can you help me understand God's will for my life? I think that is always there. But you know what's absolutely amazing? I went back and checked myself. The Puritans will write hymns like we just sung. William Williams in the 1700s wrote, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. They would sing and pray for God's guidance. But it's interesting. I went back through John Flavel, John Owen, John Brown, John Newton. I think you had to be named John to be a Christian preacher in the 1700s. I went back through all of their sermons, and I can't find any on how to know God's will for your life. We hear them preached all the time today. Why is that? And why didn't they preach that? They would pray for it. They would sing about it. But they didn't preach on it. I wonder why. I think maybe a little bit of an insight. In fact, you might want to, you know, the sign that you see pretty regularly on Highway 280, danger. You might want to put that one up in front of this sermon. Danger. Danger, you may get totally reconstructed in how you think about following God's will for your life. It may be a reconstruction time as we look at this third petition. You know, when we come to this third petition, of course, and brothers and sisters, may I exhort you in this constantly. When you're studying God's word, remember, every word is God's word and every order is important. There's a reason this is the third petition and not the second one and not the first one. But there's a reason that the first one and the second one end up in this one. When Jesus starts teaching us to pray, he knows we were built to pray and we've been praying and we've been discipled by the world to pray. So before he teaches us how to pray, he teaches us how not to pray. He says, don't pray like religious hypocrites and don't pray like superstitious pagans. Put off those prayers, but when you pray, start praying, pray this way. Pray this way. And then he gets us started praying, and he tells us how to pray. First thing he teaches us is how to begin with an adoration, an invocation of adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, the thrice holy God, I can come intimately and familiarly with him, yet reverently. Thou art in heaven. Intimacy, yet adoration, as I come to my God. And then he says, now here are your requests. Number one, first one, and there's a reason it's the first one. Hallowed be your name, my supreme passion in life. And every other request flows from this one. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be exalted. I want you to be honored. Jesus, if you're lifted up, you'll draw all men to yourself. The key in my life, the passion in my life, I want to glorify and enjoy you forever. Now, if that's to be done, what needs to happen? Petition two. The rule and reign of the gospel of grace, the kingdom of God, must extend throughout the whole world. Men and women brought to Christ, following Christ, and their businesses become a statement of God's kingdom. Their job, the way they do it, becomes their family, their neighborhood. God's kingdom starts spreading and spreading and spreading as they're brought into His church and equipped and live for Christ. And the rule and reign of the love of Christ and the Word of God brings a kingdom throughout all the world. But if I want God to be lifted up, if I want His name to be hallowed, then the kingdom must spread. And if I want the kingdom to spread, then now I'm at point three. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Am I willing to say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? I mean, am I really willing to say that, submit to that, embrace that? Not my will, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Christ-centered disciples make that prayer request, what they are asking for is that when people see us, they see contentment in God's will and they see a commitment to obey God's will. That's what we're praying for. God, when they see us, may they see a worshiping people who give you thanks and who not only love life and the lines of life where you've placed us, even adversity, we seek to give you praise. And not only contentment and praise, but committed, intentional obedience to what we know pleases you from your word. Take a look at that phrase, if you would. When you pray, pray this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now look at this phrase, we'll look at it very closely. Thy will, God's will be done on earth. Let's take this up. God's will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First phrase, thy will be done. When we talk about the will of God, we're talking about one thing. God's will is God's will. But the Bible teaches us that God's will has two sides. If you got a coin that says God's will, it's got two sides to it. One side is what we call God's decreed will, His purposed will. Sometimes it's called in the Bible His secret will that unfolds in life. Harry, what is God's secret will? Just go read a history book. That's God's secret will as it unfolds in life. A guy came into a restaurant one time and he saw a fellow sitting there, Christian man sitting there reading his newspaper. And the guy said to him, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm catching up on God's will.
This is God's will. God's secret will, His decreed will, His purpose will. The other side of the coin is God's revealed will, His command will, His precept will. Now, how do I know God's secret will? God's providence unfolds it. I encounter it in life. How do I know God's revealed will? It's in His Word. That's how I know God's revealed will. And in walking in God and embracing God's secret will, I'm never called to violate His revealed will. So I've got God's secret will, and I've got it. Let me just show you this from the Bible. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. Get your Bibles ready. I've got about four texts for you to look at this morning. Deuteronomy 29:29. All right, you got it? Great. If you're using the Pew Bible, just grab page 171. You're right with us. Look down to verse 29. Before Moses dies, he sends them into Israel, and this is what he says to them right before his death. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So God says, what about God's secret will? That belongs to the Lord. You experience it in life. What about God's revealed will? How do I know God's revealed will, the things revealed? I've got that in His authoritative teaching, His Word. Why do I have that? That I may do His will. That His will would be done. God's secret will. Read the newspaper. Read a history book. Or just live life. I had an appointment the other Friday morning. And I got up to leave. I thought I left plenty of time. I got on the Highway 280. And I ended up 30 minutes late. As I got on the Highway 280, somebody had picked that moment to transport a 2.5 lane wide generator through Birmingham on Highway 280 that morning at 8 o'clock traffic. And so we were all backed up at 7 miles an hour. And I realized, this is God's secret will for me. Now, God's revealed will refers to how I'm supposed to respond to this. And so when I pass the truck driver, hi there. There are certain gestures I'm not supposed to make. There are certain words I'm not supposed to say. I'm supposed to be content. God, You're doing something here in my life. And so I want to respond to that. God's revealed will deals with me what I do. God's secret will is what I'm encountering. I'm supposed to be content. Thank God. How? In most everything. No. In fact, let me try to illustrate this a little bit further from your Bible. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, which actually is undergoing persecution, and some are being put to death for Jesus Christ. As they are experiencing persecution, Paul concludes this epistle in 1 Thessalonians 5. He concludes it by saying this to them. Verse 15, see to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Now look, verse 16. What do you do in the midst of this persecution? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, obviously, that phrase, the will of God there, what's it referring to? His revealed will? No, His secret will that has now unfolded in their life. For the sake of honoring Jesus Christ, they have been called to a station. And the station is persecution to honor Christ. He doesn't say give thanks for everything, but He does say give thanks in everything. He says rejoice always. I want your response in the midst of encountering God's secret will to be praise to God. Now turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me illustrate the other side of the coin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, my brethren, we ask and urge you, chapter 4, in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us how you ought to live, what you ought to do, and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions, the Word of God, we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. God's will is that you pursue holiness in life. Now, you got a perfect holiness that's been given to you for your salvation in Jesus. But you're now, because you love Jesus, are supposed to pursue holiness and sanctification. Then he says, well, let me be very specific about this holiness. That he says, this is God's will, your sanctification. He said, let me get one point clear. Here's one area. You abstain from sexual immorality. Each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. In other words, he says this. He says, God's called you to holiness. Let's pick out one area. The appetite for sex. It's a God-given appetite, but it's not to be done with immorality. It's to be done in the context of marriage with purity. Purity outside of marriage. Chastity outside of marriage. Purity within marriage. And you are to do that. Don't be like the Gentiles whose appetites drive them. You are not a dog in heat. You're a man and a woman made in the image of God. You've been given the power of the Spirit of God. Now make the right choices according to God's will. Now which will is he talking about there? His revealed will. What has been written out for you. God, we want your will to be done, secret and revealed, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who's doing God's will in heaven? This isn't hard now. I'm not trying to trick you. Angels. So what God's telling us is his disciples to pray for and commit to doing God's will here the way the angels do God's will there, right? So let's take a look in heaven. How did the angels respond to the issue of God's will? Take your Bible and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Now, there are a lot of texts. I just wanted to give you this one because it kind of pulls it all together for us. Psalm 103. Look with me at verse. Just slip down to verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels. So what are the angels supposed to be doing? Blessing the Lord. What's that? Worship. Contentment and rejoicing and giving worship to the Lord in the midst of everything. Bless the Lord, worship, give praise to God in the midst of his will unfolding in all of the universe. Give praise to God. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who what? Do his word. So what are the angels doing? They're rejoicing and giving praise to God in the unfolding of his will for his glory. And what else do? They are doing God's revealed will, his word. They're obeying it. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, that old guy's down to earth? Well, Christians ought to be the most down-to-earth people in the world. Putting down-to-earth the way the angels live in heaven. Contentment and rejoicing in the midst of encountering the adversities, the trials, the sufferings, and the blessings. As we process them, ending up, God, give me the grace to give you glory. And then knowing his revealed will. How do I know God's secret will? His providence. How am I supposed to respond? With contentment and worship and rejoicing as I process this and respond to it by God's grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. How am I supposed to respond to his? How do I know God's revealed will? In his word. In his word. And my response is to do it. Not for salvation, but for my Savior. His doing got me saved. Now that I'm saved, I want to do his will here the way it's done in the heavens. Well, if that's what we mean in this prayer, how can we practically embrace that in our life? How can this prayer be understood in its purpose and what it reflects in our heart desires? Well, let me just give you three things very practically here in some takeaways for you. Here's the first one. To bring this prayer into my prayer life and therefore into my life, the first thing I learned from this prayer is this, this prayer request. The purpose of prayer is not to line God up with my will, but to line me up with God's will. That's the first thing I learned. First thing I learned here is the purpose of prayer is not this. Prayer is not an instrument for me to get God lined up with my will. Prayer is not an instrument. It's not a leash where I pull God into doing. It's not something that if I do it with just the right ritual and just the right way, with just the right feeling, then I can manipulate God and pull the genie out of the bottle for whatever it is I want in life. No, God's prayer, the disciples' prayer, is an instrument to line the one praying up with God's will. And declare our greatest joy is for His name to be hallowed through the spread of His kingdom as we do His will on the earth, even as the angels do it in the heavens. Boy, what a challenge. And I see that and I realize that in my life. Harry, does that mean I don't pray? Oh, listen, when you pray, what can you pray about? Everything. Everything. What do you want to make known to God? God loves for you to reason with Him. I remember when certain members of my family didn't yet know the Lord, I would just sit and say, God, if you do this in their life, here's what I see is going to happen. God, I think you need to do this. Now, I think it's great. I think God loves that. But now, by no means did I think when I was going through that, God was in the heavens saying, oh, my goodness, I didn't think of that. No, I know God knows everything, but God delights in us bringing to Him our heart, our passions, what we think ought to happen, where we think it ought to go. But oh, how He loves for you to say, but you're my Father. And it's not my will I want done. I trust you, my Father. It's your will I want done. So God, not my will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. You know, you realize, don't you, that much of the Christian life is a battle of the wills. And what we're trying to say is, God, I want your will to be done. Now, here's where I want to drop a bombshell, if I can word it appropriately. Here's my bombshell. I believe our being consumed with sermons and lessons on how to find God's will is because we are trying to traffic in God's secret will. We're all trying to know God's secret will. Which side of the street should I walk on today and be in God's will? Now, do I join the Army, the Marine, the Navy? Because, you know, if I make the wrong choice, I'm going to be out of God's will. And if I buy that Buick and God wants me to get that, whatever, fill in the blank, now I'm out of God's will. That car will probably break down and do all kinds of stuff. We all, listen, here's the key. A Christ-centered disciple not only knows that the point is not to get God lined up with my will, but to get me lined up with His will, then how do I see the will of God? It is not a dot to hit. It is not a line to walk. The will of God is channel markers. Here's God's secret will. Here's God's revealed will. God's secret will, how do I respond? Do I need to know that? No. I just need to respond to it with praise to God. How do I do God's will? I do His revealed will. Well, Pastor, who do I marry? A Christian. Well, is this the right Christian? Well, ma'am, is he not just a Christian? Is he spiritually committed and able to lead you to the next level for Jesus Christ? Is he committed to love you as Christ loved the church? Is he committed to take you to the next level in Christ? What college should I go to? Why are you going? Who are you going to learn from? Who are going to be your teachers? What are they teaching you? Our decisions in life is not reading, you know, it's like this Christian tea leaf reading. I mean, we do it all the time. I mean, I even know some, this guy, what he does is he takes his Bible, he's got to make a decision, and he puts it on the window pane. He opens a window, and the next morning, whatever page it's blown to, he takes his finger and he goes right on that page, and, all right, what's God telling me? Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I heard one guy that did that. He put his finger on the page and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. He said, that can't be right. So he put the Bible back up there and the pages blew some more, put his finger back down and it said, go ye and do likewise. He said, that can't be right. So he put it back out there again. He came back, put his finger down on the page then, and it said, what you do, do quickly. Folks, that is not the way you find God's, that's superstition. I was reading about a lady that said, I don't know whether to go to Israel or not. She went home and she saw somebody had called and the last three numbers were 747. And the flight she was going to take to Israel was a 747. She said, that's God's will. I'm supposed to go to Israel. Folks, oh my goodness. Just go buy a rabbit's foot. That is not the way you find God's will. God's will is being obedient. Any decision you make in life that takes you out from obedience to God's revealed will is not walking in God's will. The channel markers stay in obedience to God's revealed will and stay content and trusting in His secret will as you encounter it. What about fleeces, Harry? Well, I'm not into fleeces either. Well, Gideon had one. That's because he didn't believe God's revealed will. You know, people say, well, here's a fleece. I'm going to put out a fleece. If the traffic lights for the next three are open, then I'm supposed to, if they're all green, I'm supposed to do this. Folks, Gideon's fleece was not a statement of faith. It was a statement that he didn't have faith. And it was God's kindness to work with him in his lack of faith. And God's kind to us. He'll even work through some of our superstitions sometimes. The fleece of Gideon was because he wouldn't believe that God had commanded him to go do what he said. So what do we want to do? We want to know God's word. That's the key. The key is to know and do the word of God. The key is to respond to God's revealed will and walk in that with contentment in His secret will as He works in our life. Put the channel markers down in your life. Here's the channel marker. The channel marker is God's secret will. I want to respond when they come in my life. God, help me process this so I honor you. I respond to it. I'll follow you and let me be obedient to your revealed will. What branch of the military should I go in? Why are you going in the military? What are you going to do in the military? What kind of soldier for Christ will you be in the soldier of this army? What job should I take? You know, I met a guy one time, and this is a perfect example. He said, well, I don't know whether to take this job or not. And he said, well, I'm going to go check the school. I go check the shopping center. I go check the housing market. I go check everything. This is a true story. Not from this church, from another church that I pastored. And he wrote me about a year and a half later, he said, Pastor, he said, my job, he said, I'm out of God's will. He said, I shouldn't have taken this job. I said, why? He said, look, my family's falling apart. I said, friend, I don't think the issue was the fact that you took this job. I think the issue was how you made the decision. And you kept trying to read all the circumstances of life, and you forgot God's revealed will. What did he forget? Church. He checked everything except church. And he got there. There's no preaching of the word. No church to fellowship with. No people to work with. Now, in God's providence, we stepped in and we were able to bring some people to him and do some things. In God's providence, God worked through it and got a church actually established there. But the point is that when you make decisions in life, what you want to do is make decisions according to the precepts of God's revealed will, not get obsessed with knowing God's secret will. What color dress do I buy? If you make choices, here's what I'm going to try to say to you. If you make the choices of life consistently in obedience to God's word, then join the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force. It doesn't matter. What are you going to do when you're there? How are you going to live for Jesus when you're there? Where are you? Always make decisions not in violation to God's revealed will, but in conformity to it, and God will walk you right through life. The son of this church, Jay Kinard, went to be with the Lord when he was 34 years old. This place was filled with businessmen and women from all over the world. And the person that gave the eulogy gave us the key why. When Jake Kinard was faced with decisions in life, he didn't try to read tea leaves. This is what he did. This is what he told his partners. This is what he told everybody. Do the next right thing. What's right from God's Word? Do that and trust the Lord. Do that and put your trust in the Lord. What's the next right thing to do? In all of my relationships and all of my responsibilities, what's the next right thing to do? Second thing, second takeaway. Harry, what happens? Obviously, if it says God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, obviously God's will doesn't get done on earth the way it does in heaven. Why is that? Then the Christ-centered disciple not only knows that the purpose of prayer is to line us up with God's will, not to get God lined up with our will. The purpose of prayer, the second thing that we understand, is that the adversary to God's will on earth, God, there is an ever-present adversary to God's will on earth. What is it? My will. That's the adversary. My will becomes more important. Adam was instructed by God how to respond to life. Don't eat that tree. His wife came and said, eat the tree. You remember when God's judgment came upon Adam? What did he say? Because you listened to the voice of your wife. It was her will that became supreme, not my will. And your will became her will. How, Harry, when does my will bring me into conflict with God's revealed will? Whenever, please hear this. Whenever anything or any woman, I'm sorry, whenever anything or any one, not one man, one. Mercy. Whenever anything or anyone takes the place of God's place of affection and allegiance in your life. Drink, sex. Our heart is constantly trying to manufacture an idol. And whenever our will goes after that idol with affection and allegiance, it brings us into conflict with God's will. So I'm going to give you a hint. The hint is you got to know God's will. A hint is you got to want to do God's will. Here's another hint, right quick. Here's another hint for you. Never put Jesus at the top of the list of your priorities in life. Whoa, Harry, did you say that? I mean, did you make another mistake? Nope, this one I made on purpose. Never put Jesus at the top of your priority list. Jesus is the list. You don't put Jesus at the top of your life. He is your life. Then Jesus will help you make the list from His Word. It's not God, family, church, country, job. No. It's Jesus. My all in all. Now, Jesus, would you help me arrange my life with proper priorities? But you are my life. Nothing else. It's not. Let me set aside sex and drinking and immorality and ungodliness and lying and cheating and all that. Here it is. God, I mean, here's how you can get out of God's will. When your family becomes more important than God's glory. When your children become more important to you than God's glory. When your marriage, I got to have a marriage. I don't care who it is I marry. I just got to have a marriage. And that becomes more important than God's glory. Then you'll make decisions outside of God's will. Whenever anything in idolatry rises up as a competitor for your affection and allegiance to Jesus Christ, then your will take over and God's will be dismissed. Let me just ask you to read one other passage of Scripture, Psalm 32. Just about Psalm 32. Here's God's promise, and here's the problem. God's promise, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. There's the promise. God says, here's my revealed will. I'll give it to you. I'll guide you in it. What's the problem? Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near to you. Don't be like a mule that's stubborn. Don't be like a horse that pulls away and does and goes after what that one wants to do. Don't be a horse or a mule. Follow Jesus and trust Him. Jesus gave us an insight into this, didn't He? Remember when He was in the garden? When He was in the garden, what did it say? He was agonizing. He was sweating blood. And then He said, Father, if there be any way that this cup can pass from me, then Father, let it pass from me. Yet not my will be done, but Thy will be done. Now, folks, I'm not telling you it's easy to follow God's revealed will in the challenges of life. Jesus sweat blood, literally, over it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's comfortable. But I am saying that the key is to know and do God's will. Our will becomes supreme when something or someone else comes ahead of our devotion to the Lord. Our devotion to the Lord must be full and complete. Jesus, I love You, so it's not my will, but Your will. Pastor, you know, I made the wrong choice. I made a wrong choice here. I made a wrong choice here. I made a wrong choice here. What should I do? Okay, folks, one other little piece here. Following God's will, when you get out of God's will, is not an issue of MapQuest, it's GPS. Harry, what do you mean by that? See, it's kind of the way I was always taught. See, I got this will, I got this point I need to hit, and if I miss that point, then I need to back up and I need to go back. See, that's what MapQuest, they get, go here, turn here, go here, turn here, and then you make the wrong turn. So I got to go all the way back here and start over again. Nope. Made the wrong choice. You didn't marry a Christian man or woman. You don't go back and start over. It's GPS. Everybody done a GPS deal before? I don't have one, but I took a trip with Tom. Tom Harris is a GPS system. I took a trip with Bruce, and Bruce stuck one of those GPSs up there. And sure enough, I missed. Have you ever noticed they're always, these ones I've been in, they've always got a female voice? Have y'all noticed that? It really makes you feel right at home when you're driving. And so that GPS, you missed the turn, and I love it. Recalculating, that's the way God works. Wrong decision. Recalculate. You see, this is called grace. God's so gracious. When we falter, when we fail, when we get off course, we go to Him, we confess, we repent. God says, all right, recalculate. I'm going to get you back on course. I'm going to get you back on course. Now, how do you deal with that one that you then married outside of my revealed will? Now, there's my revealed will will tell you how to deal with that. How do you do about that job choice that you didn't take everything in consideration you should have? How do you reconfigure? I'll bring you right back. God's Spirit will empower you. His grace is sufficient, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me finish with this. Formosa. It's now called Taiwan. It used to be called Formosa. At the end of World War II, it was liberated from Japanese control. And to set up the next steps, then a Marine division was sent over to Taipei, the capital city. But as it had been liberated, the harbor had not been cleared of all the mines. And this preacher, who was a Marine at that time, records what happened. He said, we stood outside the harbor and a ship came out and guided us into the harbor. And I noticed that our captain stayed right on that ship. And on the right was a marker and on the left was a marker. And he stayed right on that ship till he got to that harbor. And folks, that's what I'm trying to tell you about God's will for your life. Left side. God's secret will. God, help me to stay in the channel marker and in everything give thanks to You. Even when I got to process it and it's difficult. Here's the other side, God's revealed will. Father, I want to make decisions in obedience to Your will. And I've got a captain ahead of me, leading me. Jesus, the author and pioneer of my faith. And I'm keeping my eye on the harbor. Hallowed be Your name. Your glory is my objective. May Your name be lifted up as Your will is done throughout the earth. Join me in prayer if you would. Father, thank You for the moments we could be together. Thank You for the privilege to be in this Your word. Thank You for the privilege to exalt Your name. Father, step one in the will of God is that we would come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then, Father, as the people come and commit their life to Jesus, give them confidence that even when they're encountering the adversities of life, you are working in their life. And even when they're dealing with the issues of life, you will guide them with your word. And it's trustworthy. Father, as the angels worship you in the midst of all of your perfect will, and as the angels seek to do your revealed will, may it be done on earth in such a manner with us. Praise and obedience. And God, may your kingdom spread and may your name be exalted. For Jesus' sake, amen.